Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no other words to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dream when I go to sleep each night. And though I had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Time replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my darkest fears. I had more gains than losses, and have known more joy than hurt, as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dream when I go to sleep each night. And though I had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way that I can say is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dream when I go to sleep each night. And though I had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dream when I go to sleep each night. And though I had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. 'Cause through it all, God's been good.
Good evening once again. Tonight, I'm very nervous. Yeah. So, preach that kind of crowd, I don't know what is in my heart. I'm very nervous. The second reason is I'm using your language, not my language. Can I use my language here? I hope that God help me for tonight. Mark chapter 2, we will start reading on verse 1 up to verse 5. I remember the last visit here in 2011. I give to you the message that I prepare: nothing is impossible. We look and on Luke chapter 6, but now we will study on Mark chapter 2. This is a very familiar passage that I hope that will become a blessing. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 at verse 5. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. May God bless his word. Let's pray. Our God, our Father, thank you so much for tonight that we can gather to worship thee and we study your word. I pray, O God, that you help me and let the Holy Spirit to move in our midst and we feel your presence. Lord, I need your help because you know my limitation. But I pray that the people understand what is in our heart and what is your word. Lord, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message that I would like to share, Reason on How to Become Successful. Reason on How to Become Successful. But before that, I just want to apologize if you don't understand me, my language. I know you did not understand me well every time I speak and use your language. But I'm very thankful because I know you're having a hard time to understand me, but you're always say and act like that. Now, when you act like that, I know you understand me, some of my words, but I'm very thankful for all of you. Again, once again, thank you so much for your continuing supporting our ministry. My prayer will be a blessing for tonight. Reason on how to become successful. Bringing people to Christ is not an easy task. I've seen it in my ministry how hard it is to bring people to Christ. They can ignore you. They can forget you, worse you, or hurt you. I have several experiences in the during tracts distribution in the Philippines. I was chased by a dog one time, by a drunkard one time, with a man with big knife, just because I just want to give them gospel tracts. So what you will do if somebody have a big night in front of you? Run. That is the best thing that we need to do. Now in this story, it is compassion that caused them to bring the man who sick of the palsy to Jesus. And it is the love of Jesus that shed abroad in our hearts that caused us to bring sinners to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, we must have compassion for the lost. And along with compassion, it is the desire to reach them and win them at any cost. I am forever grateful to those American missionaries who came to our land and left their conveniency in America because God gave them vision. They looked not on their personal needs, but what they saw are souls without God. And because of that gospel that brought to us, we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the true salvation and the real hope that everybody must have. My friends, the battle is not yet over. We have to continue what being started in our land. We have to continue to see the need from the place from the uttermost part of the earth. May we continue to hear and cry, and you may come and over and help us. Don't lose your vision and your part in reaching the lost. There are three things I want to stress out in this story, and these things remain in our heart. Reason on how to become successful. One, we must have a burden. The man carried by four fellow, he was totally dependent by other. He cannot go around to enjoy our life like we do. He cannot change himself. He cannot change his condition. This man was helpless, hopeless, homeless, and hellbound. And this is the picture of a lost man. Now, if you go to a religious condition of my mission field, there are many cults in our country. As I said last visit here, Roman Catholicism is the most dominant religion. They teach idolize of Mary. They believe if you pray to Mary, Mary will tell to Jesus about it, and Jesus will not reject Mary's request because she is her mother. They are focusing, teaching, and idolizing Mary than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have a black Nazarene. Black Nazarene is an image. Every second month of the year, all the Filipinos, some of the millions of Filipinos get gathered in one place because they believe if anyone touched the black Nazarene, any sickness do you have, you will be healed. And that's what they believe. And that is the conditions. And that is the spiritual condition of our country. And then there are a lot of cults, if not only here and even the Philippines. And then we have a group, we call it Iglesia ni Cristo, that you are not, you are not here. But Iglesia ni Cristo, they teach, they are continually teach, they are growing, and they're becoming larger. They put a beautiful building because some of the Filipinos, they are looking at the beautiful building instead of the true doctrine. You know what they believe? They believe that Jesus Christ is not God, he's a true man. He is always teach that Jesus Christ, not God. No, it's not true. Jesus Christ is God. That's the Bible says. And then in the southern part, the name of his leader is Apollo Kibuloy. He believed. He has a television. No commercial break. He buy acres of land. He is a millionaire. He is a private jet. Private jet. He travel in all over the world. Many times he travel in California. He preach. He said in television, I am the appointed son of God. I am the Messiah. And then he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father if you do not believe me. And that's what he said. And that is not true. Right? That is not true. Because the Bible is true. The Lord Jesus Christ is true. We read it because we believe it in this book. That Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He is the only mediator. He is the only intercessor. And there is no other person who come to the Lord Jesus Christ and go to heaven, only the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our true Savior, not him. And then we have a traditional belief in the Philippines that you will never see here in your country. They imitate what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. They literally nail on the cross. They carry the cross. They're wiping and hurting themselves because Filipinos believe if you do that, their sins will be forgiven. And also that is not true. The Bible says it's very clear in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all our sins. Amen. And then we have one street in our mission field that prostitution is rampant. When they get pregnant, they sell their baby to somebody else for $10. And that's it. And that is the condition. And that is the spiritual condition of my mission field. I remember, if we remember in Mark chapter 9 at verse 36 and 38, Jesus moved with compassion in them because they fainted. Why they fainted? Because they carried the heavy material load. But the load of sin, the load of pain, it is a sin that brought them problems. It is a sin that made them unhappy. And they were scattered abroad. Why? Because there is no one who will tie them together. Someone who will lead them. Someone who will unite them. Someone who will instruct them. And someone who will guide them. And there were sheep without a shepherd. He saw that they needed protection. He saw that they needed food. He saw that they needed shelter. He saw their destiny. He saw they're going to hell. Hell is not a joke. There is a real hell that teaches in the Bible. Hell is a place of torment. Now, who can teach them? Who will tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Who can lead them and who will teach them that Jesus Christ is our Savior? He is our mediator. He is our intercessor. Who will teach them that there is no other way to go to heaven, only the Lord Jesus Christ? Who can tell them about the eternal punishment in hell? That's why we need more preachers. We need more preachers that to preach the truth. And I'm very thankful because God gave us a vision for the year 2020 to put up 10 village churches. And now we have 6 village churches. And then we have a man that I train in our church and now ready to go and start a new work. And now while I am here, they are teaching and preaching the truth that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And I'm very thankful for that, for your helping us. Now, before we came back here in your country, when my wife arrived at your port of entry last April 6, we had a rough start here at the United States. We held up at your port of entry for 5 hours. We asked about our purpose here in your country. They asked every detail of our purpose. It's hard for us because explaining a different language is very difficult. They asked so many questions and over. They several people on the phone, I see, do all computer works, print out, and so many papers that they were showing. It was so scary too much to understand or comprehend. We are very exhausted. We came in at around 9 a.m. from 16 hours flight. We did not enough sleep yet, and we are sitting in the front of the port of entry official. We are very intimidated. They took my wife to a different room. They took to a different room. I do not know what is happening to her. When they brought us in our luggage, we know we are going back home. They will send back us back home. As the interview is going on, I admit that there is a panic in me. It does not show, but my mind is thinking about all the things that happen if we will send back home. How about our plane ticket, our village pastor, our Bible school student, and the children workers? They are depending on our support. We are always, when my wife and I came here, we trust the Lord for our plane ticket. We just loaned money to take it back to our loved one. The reason why we came back here, not only to update all our my supporting churches, what's happening in our ministry, because I have a burden, because I just want to help all my pastor, my children, workers, and all that are working together in our ministry in the Philippines. And that is also the reason why we are here. And I'm very thankful for all the churches and Christians that are always helping us. The second, how to become successful, we must have a boldness. In this story, we will see their boldness because they uncovered the roof. They did not hesitate. They think of a way to bring their friend to Jesus. If we will study, we will see they have their unity, partnership. All of them, they cooperate. They have one mind and they have one heart. Nobody said it is hard to go to Jesus. Nobody thought of the hindrances. What is important for them was to bring their friend to Jesus. Nobody can help him or save a lost man but Jesus. Amen. This man have a unique idea, strategies, how bring this man to Jesus. When I started the church, I talked to myself, I cannot do this alone. I need partner in the ministry. There, so what I did, I trained my own people to go in soul winning. Now the church is growing. Men in our church that I train is now ready to go to village churches and start a new work. When I study, I sit down and study well my mission field. I ask myself, I don't have any problem about our language, our culture, our tradition, our food. We don't have any problem about our food. But we really appreciate your food here. It's a really blessing. It's a really treat for us. Because in the Philippines, if you have rice and fish, you survive. But your fish here is great. You don't have any hard time. Because in the Filipinos eat the whole fish, the head, the tail, except the bone. But you fish here, fish fillet. And that is the blessing from God. Amen. We don't have any problem about our food. Most of the people are receptive to the Word of God. until God gave us a vision to put up 10 village churches around in our area. We start to plan how we will do it. We start to know how the latest population, how many barangays, how many cities, then we start first on the mountain. We go up to the mountain because we have a native Filipino, we call it Itas, with the kinky hair, the small guy, and that's the reason why we go there and start a mission work and we put up a village churches there. And then on the second, in the west side, we go to the another place where people in different location of the village churches with a different condition. And then the other is, there is a lot of immorality there. So my man that we go there, they have a boldness in their heart to preach the truth. And then we go to another place. We go to the other island. In the island, we have three islands, and then we put up a village church in the big island. The most of the people live there, they are rebels. Rebels, not killing people, rebels against the government. But we don't have any hard time. They are receptive to the word of God. And they are not bothering us. They are not giving us a hard time. So they are listening to you if you show the word of God for them. And that is the blessing for us. And now we have 6 village churches that are existed right now. Because in our area, there are 29 towns where 90,000 people live. It is very densely populated. Over 200 people each Sunday attend in our church. But many more than want to come cannot travel that far. We do not have the same means of transportation, money for gas to bring everyone who come to our church. So our vision is to plant 10 village churches throughout Urani in a strategic location so that the most people will be able to walk to the church. Since many people cannot come to our church, it is our vision to bring church to the people. And that is why, again, our vision is so important. Our people remain passionate and united in seeing this vision fulfilled. More churches means more souls saved and lives changed. Our ultimate goal is not just to expand the Baptist movement, but for souls to come to Christ and their lives change forever. We continue to motivate our people to remain focused in serving the Lord, that everybody must have contribute. We need many churches to reach them. And we have our 90,000 people. They are hungry. And they are responsive to the gospel. We need to take advantage of every opportunity to reach these people before it's too late. Then the third is, we must be a blessing. His friend was healed because they have a burden. Because they saw his friend are helpless, hopeless, and hellbound. Because they have a boldness, they have a decision to bring his friend to Jesus. And they have a determination. That's why they become a successful. They become a blessing to him. God put you in your position or ministry because you will be a blessing. Whatever things you can have can be a blessing to others. In this story, they used their energy. They thought of the way. They made an effort to bring this man to Christ. They did not pay anybody, but they themselves brought their friends. As simple as inviting people to Christ can be a way to bring people to Christ. Give out gospel tracts. Share your testimony to your friends, to your relatives. And there are many ways to use your life to bring people to Christ. My friends, God is not sleeping. He knows what we are doing. Jesus said, "Our labor is not in vain in the Lord." Anything you can do to help people to Christ will be rewarded by God. And God will multiply your blessing to you. This story is a simple. Having a burden for the lost needs, boldness to bring people to Christ, to share the word of God, and then God will reward you and give you a blessing for bringing people to Christ. Thank you so much for tonight. For giving me opportunity to share the word of God. And this is very simple, and I hope that this simple story, simple message, will become a blessing to everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Ogie, for that challenge. If we could get them excited about something, we'd really have something, wouldn't we? Praise the Lord. Good. I'd like to close the service tonight by singing the song we didn't sing during the service, and that's 378. And we need a passion for souls. And that's what he's preached to us about tonight. God has spoken to your heart as we sing in just a moment. I would encourage you to come and ask God to challenge you for your co-workers, for your family, for your neighbors. The reason we're not winning people to Christ is because we don't have a burden for their souls. And when you get a burden, as he spoke about today, then we'll be faithful giving the gospel. We'll see people saved. So let's stand together. 378, God has spoken to your heart. You need to come. Ask the Lord to speak to you and help you come as we sing.
Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord, a passion to save the lost. Oh, that thy love were by all adored and welcomed at any cost. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning, a story of pardon to tell.
I'd ask you to bow your heads, ladies, continue to play just for a moment. I wonder if there's one here tonight. And you say, Gary, I'm not sure myself I'm going to heaven. I've heard about the burden. We have a burden for you. Our desire is that every person in this building, before you leave, have the assurance in your heart that if you were to die, you would go to heaven. I wonder tonight if you have that assurance in your heart. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you say, Gary, I know, 100% sure, if I die tonight, I have the assurance that I would wake up in heaven. I'd ask you just to raise your hand, hold it up just a moment. You might wave it. Say, I have got that assurance in my soul that if I died tonight, I know I'd go to heaven. Thank you. Thank you. You may put it down. There may have been some here tonight that couldn't say that. My friend Christ died for you. He died for Americans. He died for Filipinos. He died for all people, that we might come to Christ. And I wonder tonight if there might be one that say, I'm not sure of heaven, but I'd like to be. I'd like to be. You can be sure of heaven before you leave this building. If you're saying in your heart right now, I could not raise my hand a moment ago, but I would like to. I would like to know that if I die tonight, I'd go to heaven. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can come to Christ. Turn from sin and turn to Christ and become a child of God. If in your heart tonight you're saying, Gary, I am not sure of heaven, but I'd like to be, would you just slip your hand up and hold it out just for a moment? We'd like to pray for you. We'd like to help you. Good, I see that hand. Are there others? You may put your hand down. Others that say, Gary, I'm not sure of heaven, but I'd like to be. Is there another that would join this one? We'd like to do in just a moment. If you'd like to come, we'd like to take a Bible. Have one of our workers sit down with you, take a Bible, and help you to know for sure that you're going to heaven. Would you like to do that tonight? We'd love to help you with that tonight. Amen. Good. You come on. Both take him, and let's take him someplace where we can have time to talk with him, all right? Good. Thank you. Brother Morrison, you might want to go with him, too. That'd be good. All right. We thank you for this one. We're going to take our time and deal with him, make sure he understands, and give him the gospel. Praise the Lord. Good. Amen. Good. Anyone else? We'll take it. Plenty of time to deal with folks. You say, Gary, I'm not sure, but I'd like to be sure. Anyone else like that? Good. Well, it's been a good day. You may look this way. It's been a good day in the Lord's house today. Brother Ablin. Ms. Ablin, great to have you. Folks, why don't you go ahead and go on back to the back, if you would. Stay in the lobby. Now, I probably shouldn't do this. We've already taken two special offerings today. I'm not going to take an offering, but you might, as you go back, you shake his hand. You might leave a little bill there in his hand. 20s would be nice. If you got 50s you want to get rid of, that would be good. 100s, I'll help you out with that myself. So, but, you know, it's always good to take care of God's people and appreciate the work they're doing. So, been a good day. Let's thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the joy we've had in spending time with you in your house today. Thank you for the Abilins, the work that you're using them to do in the Philippines. Thank you that Pastor and Becky's child has arrived and doing well. Do pray for this one as these men are dealing with him today. God, I pray you give him real understanding of what salvation is. I pray that you would take care of this language barrier and that you would help him to truly trust Christ for heaven. And Lord, we thank you that you love the world. You loved all of us and you want to save us. And help us, I pray, to be busy this week in giving the gospel and trying to minister to folks and see them saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you, folks. Have a good evening.